So that is open theism. Another way he suggests, right, is what he calls monism. So this is the third way of handling the foreknowledge problem. Molinism position derived from the 16th century Jesuit priest, Luis de Molina. And he says that it divides divine knowledge into three categories, right? First, natural knowledge refers to all necessary factual truths and possibilities known to God immediately and intuitively, right? Now, these we might call tautologies. We might call, you know, these truths that are, once you know the definition, then it has to be true, right? Two plus two is four. Bachelors are unmarried men, that kind of stuff, right? So they call that natural knowledge, and this is all necessary factual truths that are just have to be the case. He says that this knowledge of all that is or could be, that's the idea here. It is pre-volitional, right? Before anybody chooses, right? 2 + 2 = 4, regardless of what I choose, right? So in the sense that it is independent then of or logically prior to what God decrees to happen, right? 2 + 2 = 4 prior to God's decrees, right? Bachelors are unmarried men prior to God's decrees, right? It's true by definition.
Men have to take place.
That's right.
Yeah. So yeah, this is God knows anything that could happen.
Right, right.
All right, and so the first one is natural knowledge. The second one is free knowledge. Mm. Free knowledge refers to God's knowledge of all things that will certainly be. So this is God knows what will happen. Such knowledge is based on God's decree, his sovereign will, whereby he freely, unchangeably decrees, he wills all events in history that come to pass. So I'm God, and before the foundations of the world, I have decreed that my will to be carried out is that Jesus Christ will die on the cross at Calvary in 33 AD. That will happen. I'm going to will it. That's the pinnacle of history that I'm going to point everyone to. And then everything else that happens. Okay. Because it is dependent on his decree, free knowledge is post-volitional and thus contingent. All Orthodox Christians hold to natural knowledge, and Calvinism and Molinism hold to free knowledge. Okay, so we have the natural knowledge, God knows anything that could happen, and free knowledge is God knows what will happen, right? Because he's decreed it.
Because he's decreed it, right. And then thirdly, then, is unique to Molinism.
Yeah.
It's the belief in middle knowledge, right? So, which is claimed to lie somewhere, right, in a logical progression between natural and free in the middle.
Yeah. Right? Makes sense in the middle. Okay, yeah. I got you there.
Middle knowledge means that God knows counterfactuals of creaturely freedom, he tells us, right? In other words, what people would freely choose in a libertarian sense under any possible scenario in any possible world, that is, any state of affairs that might exist. So God knows what people would freely choose, yeah. Right? So this is the middle knowledge, yeah. Right?
So they don't have the ability to fly, but here's everything that would happen if they come to the fork in the road. Here's you know, the 1,000 permutations that could happen to this person. And then do that for every single event, every single person, of every single thing in creation from the time of decree, of divine decree onward.
Right, right, good. So now this middle knowledge then is like free knowledge in that it's contingent because it's dependent on what, you know, other people would freely choose.
The creation.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like natural knowledge in that it is pre-volitional, right? Pre-choice, right? Because it's independent of or logically prior to God's eternal decrees, right? So it's kind of like both of them, right?
Kind of before he creates the world and sends it in motion,
yeah,
that type of thing. So thus, God doesn't determine the range of possibilities. They arise strictly from what free creatures would do in each situation.
This is the key to it, right?
So this is the, you know, it's kind of assumed that there are libertarian free creatures, and this is by creating this type of world creation people, this is what God kind of has to choose from and has the ability to know. These are the things that will come about, and, right. and we're unrestrained from it.
So our particular choices gives God kind of what you said, what to choose from, right? He knows what we would do in every situation. Now he can choose based on what we would do in any situation yeah. in order to carry out what he wants to occur, right? right?
And it wouldn't involve everything because then we're, you know, we're the walking robots in that scenario, right? And so there's got to be some constraints happening. And so you kind of have a bouncy ball effect of like, okay, you can go on the cement, but not over in the grass or, you know, whatever it might be. So that seems to be the case here. So after a panoply of possible worlds are set before God, along with the total matrix of what each person would freely choose in those worlds. Again, this is everybody for every choice in every situation, and the rocks, the birds, the every meteorites.
Event. Yeah.
I mean, this, and that's just one person. Then get two people together, and how do you restrain two people together? Now get whole nations together. Now get whole battles and whole worlds together to figure out, you know, what that is, and then try to maintain this free will without overdoing it, whatever that might be. Seems to be a weighty thing here. So we've got this matrix involved, and God knows all these permutations. He then sovereignly selects, or he decrees, one particular feasible world that best serves his purposes.
Right.
So this gives him genuine foreknowledge of all that will certainly occur in that world, and he then providentially ensures that all its detail takes place in real time in history.
So we got him out of the conundrum, it seems, right?
I mean,
and we still have free will, right? Because he knows everything that we would do, and so he chooses the world where we would do the things that he wants us to do. Mm-hmm. And that's the world that he decrees, right? So it's almost a step backwards from directly intervening, right?
Right.
Because it's kind of indirect because yeah. he's choosing a particular world, right?
He's playing Plinko, and he knows how the Plinko chip will bounce off the pegs, and so he goes, and so he knows exactly how to get the $1,000 or $10,000 or whatever the price is these days.